Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to pause Epistle to the Romans chapter 12 and the 12th verse. Pause Epistle to the Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Pause Epistle to the Romans chapter 12 and the 12th verse. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. This text is found in this very sacred chapter that the apostle was inspired to write to the church at Rome, and how in it there is gracious exhortation how a real child of God should live and how they should walk. And particularly in love flowing from heart to heart. He says here, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And how vital that is today. And you know, if we've got a real religion and really love the dear Lord Jesus, we should desire continually to walk in that. But this 12th verse has so rested upon one's heart, and we trust it is a message from the Lord, maybe for some poor needy sinner this afternoon. And there are three vital parts to this text. First, rejoicing in hope. Second, patient in tribulation. And then thirdly, continuing instant in prayer. What a mercy it is when we've got something to rejoice over. We tried to preach last Lord's Day evening at Brighton from a word in this chapter that so seemed to rest upon one's spirit that is parallel to this word. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Rejoicing in hope. Now it is only really the real child of God that is born of the Holy Spirit can ever rejoice in hope. This is not a natural hope that is declared in our text that the child of God can rejoice in. It is a hope given by the Lord, a good hope through grace. And there were those in the church at Rome, which the apostle knew very well, that had a good hope beyond the grave. Their hope was in a precious Jesus. Now let us bring it right home to us this afternoon. Where's our hope? You know, it's easy for us to sing what the hymn writer said in the hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But do we know what it is to, desire that our hope may be stayed upon him? on a precious Jesus. You know, there are sweet hopes the Lord gives to his dear people. We're told faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And oh, may we have that sweet hope in the dear Redeemer. And then if we have, we got something to rejoice over. You see, the dear apostle could write this from experience. He could look back to where he had false hopes. Those false hopes were in the Pharisaic religion that he was brought up in. And they were only hopes for time things and for what he could do himself, until the Lord stripped him of all hope in himself. I love that hymn where the dear hymn writer speaks of it, you see. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that's where the Lord brought him, on that Damascus road. So the only place he could hope was in his dear Redeemer, in the Lord Jesus. And oh, that we may have that sweet hope in us that he is our Saviour, he is our Redeemer, he is our all and in all. Now he speaks to these in the church at Rome, rejoicing in hope. Now if he's given you, poor soul, a little hope in his blessed name, a little hope in Calvary, a little hope in what the Lord has done for you, you'll know what it is to rejoice. And you will find, and I didn't name it last Lord's Day evening, you will find that in each of the epistles that he wrote to the churches, he exhorts them to rejoice in. And we think of that which was spoken by the apostles of the church in Thessalonica. And what does he say to them? Rejoice evermore. And how could they rejoice? They could rejoice in all what the dear Saviour had done for them. Oh, they could. And then you think of what he said to the church at Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. You know, it's a solemn thing. If we've only got a religion of sorrow, there are many that go around and think, well, if we've got a mournful face, that is our religion. But you know, the real child of God will know real rejoicing. You think of the real rejoicing, and I named it a little this morning, which dear Hannah had when the Lord answered her prayer and gave her a request and delivered her from her adversaries. What did she do? Her very soul rejoiced in her God. You take the deliverance of the children of Israel at the Red Sea, going to chapter 15 of the book of Exodus. How does it begin? In real rejoicing. Because the Lord had put down the Pharaoh and his house and delivered the children of Israel from the Red Sea and from all their enemies. They got something to rejoice in, haven't they? We sing in the hymn, we have reason to rejoice. And as the Lord gives you a little hope that he's going to answer your prayer, what would be the effect in your heart as he gives you that little hope he's going to answer it? You'll rejoice, won't you? And then it may be you're praying for the Lord to deliver you and blot out all your sin. And as he gives you a little hope that he suffered, bled and died for you at Calvary, What will be the effect of it? Your soul will rejoice. Rejoice in what he has done. You think of the dear women at the sepulchre. They could rejoice, couldn't they? That he had risen triumphant. Think of the dear disciples when the message came that Christ had risen. A mighty conqueror over sin, death and hell. What was the effect of it? They rejoiced, didn't they? Oh, they did. And do we not rejoice that we've got the pure word of God that we can go to and that we have read to us and that we have it preached from us to us continually, rejoicing in what he has said? And then you can look back in your own soul's experience. Have there been those times where he so appeared to you, the Lord has, and delivered you from this trouble and that trouble, from this affliction, that affliction? And what has been the effect of it? You've run over to rejoice, haven't you? We sing in the hymn, "Rejoice, the Lord is King, and be his name adored." Rejoicing in hope. Now, you think of David. I want to come low for those of you that may say, "Oh, well, when the text was read, rejoicing in hope, I feel to be completely opposite to that. I've got so much to weep over. I've got so much that weighs me down. I've got so many enemies that plague me." And you sink low, don't you? Well, you think of David in Psalm 42 and 43. What does he say? "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" There may be those of you today, you're saying that. "Why art thou cast down?" He looks within, you see, his own heart, his own soul. "Why art thou cast down?" There was a reason for it. His enemies were so great. His sin was against him. And he was cast down. "Oh my soul, why art thou disquieted within me?" There's much to disquiet the poor child of God, though. The opposition of Satan, the darkness they have to walk through, the deep afflictions of soul and of body. But David didn't dwell on those, did he? You know, it's a solemn thing. We experienced the first part of that. But he didn't leave it there, did he? What does he say? And this is faith in him, in gracious exercise. "Hope thou in God." He exhorts his own soul to hope in God. "Hope thou in God." And why could he hope in God? Believing what he said next. "For I shall yet praise him." I shall yet praise him. In other words, I shall yet rejoice, Lord, because of this hope. He had a sweet hope the Lord would deliver his soul from all the cast down condition. A sweet hope the Lord would quieten all that that disquieted him. A sweet hope that the Lord would hear and answer his prayers and bring him out of the trouble. "I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." It's a beautiful word, that is, you know. The Lord made that very precious to me. Right back in 1968, "Hope thou in God." You may have everything against you, but hope, poor soul, in your God, that he will deliver. He will bring you out. He will cause you to rejoice. "Hope thou in God." rejoicing in hope. And this is what he exhorts them. He didn't say, oh, just go along and rest in this sorrowful condition, did he? Hope thou in God, rejoicing in hope. And you know, if the Lord gives us a little hope, we've got something to rejoice in. Hope in his mercy, hope in his grace, hope in all that he endured for us at Calvary. The Christian's hope will never fail. You know, natural hopes fail. You'll find many that have had hopes in things and been disappointed because they come to nothing. Because it's natural. Hope. That hope that is real will stand when everything else fails. We think of the solemn ministry of the dear Lord Jesus in the Mount when he preached, and Matthew records it so beautifully, doesn't he? Where he says in chapter 7, he says this, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And the soul that's upon this rock will have a blessed hope in the dear Redeemer. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now you see, if all our hope is on a precious Jesus, that hope will never fail. Oh no. Because the Lord's the author of it, and the finisher of it. Oh, he is. And it will never fail. And the sinner has reason to rejoice. Rejoicing in hope. Now, though you may have all these things that burden you and exercise you and concern you this afternoon, have you not a sweet hope? The Lord will bring you through. What does the hymn writer say? Faith believes it, and hope expects it. It's a beautiful word, that is, isn't it? Faith believes it, and hope expects it. And you see, I have a sweet anticipation, expecting that blessed, rejoicing hour to come. Well, much could be said on that first part, you see, rejoicing in hope. A woman, when she is in travail, Jesus said, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But listen, as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the earth. She can rejoice, can't you? And oh, that's been very sweet to me this week. Rejoicing in hope. And when you got that sweet hope, poor soul, the Lord will save. The Lord will appear. The Lord will make bare his arm. You can rejoice. And that rejoicing, let's be very clear before I go further, is not natural rejoicing like the world have it. Oh no. It's inward rejoicing in what the Lord has done. There's no flesh can glory in this. at all, not this real rejoicing. No flesh shall glory in his presence. You know, those dear disciples, when they got to Emmaus, could rejoice when Jesus showed them his pierced hands and feet and side. It was he himself. And they could rejoice, couldn't they? They'd had the path of sorrow, but now they could rejoice. And too, you can rejoice, poor soul, when the Lord favours you with his sweet presence with you. Because when you got his sweet presence, you got sweet hope. Sweet anticipation. Rejoicing in hope. Well, much could be said, and the whole sermon really preached on it, but let us go further. Patient in tribulation. Now, the apostle didn't promise these in the church at Rome an easy pathway, did he? No, it was going to be a path of tribulation. What are we saying? That tribulation, more or less, ye must and shall endure. The Lord has said, hasn't he? So many times in his word, it's through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom. It's going through it, you see. But, in this tribulation, and you know, what may be a tribulation to one may not be a tribulation to another of God's dear children. But in that tribulation, you're going to need patience. Oh, you are. Patience to bear the tribulation. The tribulation may be a path of affliction. We think of many of God's dear children over the years that have walked through ever such deep affliction. And it's been a great tribulation to them. Oh, it has. And they've had to walk right through it. But in it, he says here, patient in tribulation. You know, it's one of the things the Lord will teach his dear children in tribulation is the need of patience. The need of patience. I have wondered why we read that beautiful chapter in James where he speaks so much in it, in that fifth chapter, of the need of patience, doesn't he? He says to them, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it." You think of the husbandman this season of the year, he will sow his seed in the earth. He is dependent upon the Lord to cause that seed to grow, that there might be a harvest. He needs a lot of patience, especially through the trying scenes of winter. When the frost comes, the snow, and he looks at that ground where it's sown, and there seems little to encourage him, but he has to learn patience. And he needs much patience to wait through to July, August for the harvest, doesn't he? You're talking of 9 months, you see. The need of patience. And James uses this. He has long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. And then he goes further. He says, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And then he uses a beautiful illustration of dear Job. If ever a man needed patience, you think of what the dear man had to walk through. With his livelihood being taken, his family, and then the afflictions upon his body. But that wasn't all. The onslaughts of Satan against his soul. And what does James speak of here? Behold, we count them happy which endure. You see, in it all, just stepping back to what we looked at earlier, in it all, Job had a blessed hope. And that was in his God. Oh, it was. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. And his hope was in God, just as David's was. The Lord would bring him out into a wealthy place through it all. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Now Job endured through all that. Oh, he did. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. He needed patience with his wife, didn't he? She said, curse God and die. Think how we would feel if our loved ones said that to us in a time of severe trial. Well, that's what she said. And he needed this patience, you see. In it all, you've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And you know, dear Job could see in it all that he got to learn patience in it. And in God's time, he would bring him out into a wealthy place, both in his soul, in his family, and in his livelihood. He had double what he had before. Patient in tribulation. But then Paul, in his letter to the Romans in chapter 5, he tells us that beautifully how we obtain patience. And he says this, speaking of that blessed hope, you see these things in this text are dovetailed. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then this word, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. He didn't say we'd have it to start with, but tribulation would work it. And you often find those that walk through a path of much tribulation, the Lord has given them wonderful patience. And that patience comes from the Lord. Going back to what I hinted at this morning concerning the Lord Jesus, you look in all his sufferings and all the opposition of Satan and the reviling by men, opposition of man against him, what do we find? He was patient in it all, wasn't he? There's the pattern, you see. Look at the Saviour. How patiently he endured what he had to endure to redeem his dear children. So we find here tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Patient in tribulation. Now may the Lord grant to us that grace to be patient, waiting for his appearing, waiting for the Lord to work. It's something we need to pray for continually, isn't it? Lord, give us patience. It's not in us, but he can give that patience to wait patiently for the Lord and for his coming. Well, I'll leave that for your meditation. The third vital point in the text is this: continuing instant in prayer. The Lord will have his dear children ever at the throne of grace, ever praying their way along. We are told on another occasion by the Apostle Paul, pray without ceasing. Do you know what it is to pray without ceasing? That doesn't mean to say we got to continually utter words. Some of the prayer that is without ceasing is inward in the heart. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. You can go about your daily work or daily task, and inwardly there's that prayer going out continually to the Lord for him to work, to him to appear for you. It may be in a particular trial you're in or a particular need. And there's such value in this beautiful clause in our text, continuing instant. The margin refers to Luke 18, what the Saviour said. And what did he say? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You may have things that today that are making you faint. But you know, when we always pray, we're not fainting. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Continue in instant. You see, to be instant in prayer, not only when we think we ought to, or at a certain time we ought to, but being instant in it, giving the Lord no rest. It's like Jacob when he was faced with Esau's 400 men against him. What do we read? I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Are you like that? It's continually being instant. And Jacob was, you see, until the Lord blessed him. And when he blessed him, he delivered him from Esau and all the 400 men against him. And he delivered Jacob's soul and brought him into a blessed, wealthy place where he could praise the Lord and glorify the Lord's precious name. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You know, when we are instant in prayer, giving the Lord no rest, what are we singing the hymn? Wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. There may be those things that trouble you today, poor soul. And you think, well, if I do this and do that, it'll ease me of the burden. But poor soul, what you've got to do, and what I've got to do continually, is to be instant in prayer, ever at the throne of grace. Like some of the old saints of old, you know, they used to continually, whether they were at work or in the night season, giving the Lord no rest. And all the blessing descended from heaven. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast and forgive all my sins. This will be your prayer, you see. And it may be in certain things that exercise you and burden you today. May these 3 points in our text be life and power to us each. Firstly, rejoicing in hope. Secondly, patient in tribulation. And thirdly, continuing instant in prayer. Don't give it up, you see. Prayer's a weapon for the feeble. Weakest saints shall wield it best. Now, I've only scratched around this word this afternoon, but may the Holy Spirit apply the text to us. If nothing, I preach it to myself. And oh, that we may know the realities in it. And may we know those more and more sweet seasons of rejoicing. Can you not look back this afternoon at those times where you've been able to rejoice and bless his holy name? You think of Psalm 103, bless the Lord, the psalmist said, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And he got something to bless the Lord for, hadn't he? All the deliverances from his soul by the Lord from his sin. And for all the Lord had done for him, appearing for him, delivering him from his enemies, from his troubles, from his afflictions, from his distresses. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. True rejoicing, you see. And may the Lord favour you in this coming week and throughout the rest of this year with those seasons of rejoicing. That word keeps coming back to our name. We have reason to rejoice. And may we lay that to heart. Amen.